Congress shows it can rein in the powerful federal consumer watchdog. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A federal rule to stop banks from forcing consumers into arbitration when they might otherwise join a class action lawsuit has been quashed by Congress. Last night, at the same time as the first game of the World Series, the U.S. Senate was tied up in the bottom of the ninth, and Vice President Mike Pence hits what, from the banking industry's point of view, is the winning homer.
On this vote, the yeas are 50. The nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the joint resolution is passed.
Republicans said they were worried about frivolous lawsuits weighing down banks, and the White House is indicating that the president will sign this into law, meaning arbitration wins, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau loses. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has more on what's next for the CFPB.
The CFPB was created by the Obama administration after the financial crisis, and its structure gives it a lot of independence. Congress can't defund it. Also, its director serves for 5 years and can be fired by the president, but only for specific reasons, like neglect of duty. So Republicans say the bureau goes too far, that it burdens banks with all its new rules, and they've wanted to change its structure. But for now, there's just one major way they can rein in the CFPB. They can pass a law to overturn its new rules within 60 legislative days. That's what happened last night and could be a sign of things to come, at least until Director Richard Cordray's term ends next year and the president replaces him.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra. And now to the bond market, down again. The benchmark for interest rates is up sharply again, 2.46% on the 10-year yield right now. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
It's impressive that the 10-year now is above 2.45%. Not that long ago, and in fact, in the middle of the summer, we were seeing it at a multi-year low at just over 2%. And that really was as recently as in September. So what we're seeing now is, I think, better expectations about the economy. We've seen some positive underlying economic data, and all of this is getting a lot of support because we're in the middle of earnings season right now. So company management teams are coming out talking about earnings, and right now, the majority of the S&P 500 companies have reported, and most of them have had very positive results. 80% of those companies have beat estimates. That's the best number we've had in 3 years.
Susan Schmidt of Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Yesterday, when the president met with Republicans on Capitol Hill, they did a show of hands. Who do you want for the chair of the Federal Reserve, arguably the most powerful single economic policy position in the country, if not the world? Current Fed boss Janet Yellen could be renewed. There's Stanford's John Taylor, Fed Governor Jerome Powell. Bloomberg News reports differing assessments of who came out ahead in this straw poll, plus some folks didn't raise their hands for anyone. Now to gender bias and why some of the best ideas don't get funding. Venture capitalists invested more than $58 billion in startup companies last year, but women only got 2% of the money. A study in the Harvard Business Review finds that stereotypes are at play here, leading to investors asking different questions of female entrepreneurs. Sally Herships reports the kinds of questions they're asked can have a direct impact on just how much funding they get.
Kim Taylor says back when she was pitching her online education startup to investors, she didn't just have to prove her idea was solid. She also endured questions about whether the online education market itself was even real.
And, you know, this is a market that has several multi-billion dollar companies in it.
She says there was plenty of solid data to make that clear. Ultimately, Taylor did get her capital. Rockstar investor Mark Cuban signed on. And Renku, the company she co-founded, sold last year for $25 million. So why did she have to defend the market's potential? She says that's the way it often goes for women entrepreneurs.
When a man walks in a room, it's automatically assumed he's competent. When I walk in a room, it's automatically assumed that I'm not.
It's gender bias like this, which the study shows is at the heart of the problem. It says when men pitch startups, they get asked how they'll make money. But women get asked about how they'll prevent losing investors' money. Taylor says for her, the study was an aha moment.
yeah, that does happen to me. I do get all those questions. And it's almost like they want to have a gotcha moment.
Donna Cans is the study's author. She combed through almost 200 videos of entrepreneurs pitching at a TechCrunch funding competition in New York. She tracked the words investors used when asking questions. Here's what men hear.
Gain, hope, ideal.
But women entrepreneurs?
Fear, loss, obligation, pain.
Pain. Pain is on there.
Pain. Pain is a big word.
Cam says almost 70% of men were asked about their aspirations, but women got asked questions like, how long will it take you to break even? And investors.
They do not invest in any businesses that merely aspire to break even.
So Cam says women are set up for failure. Instead of talking about how they'll make money, they end up playing defense. And if you're thinking a fix is to get more female investors, Cam says the percentage has gone up to 7%. But
in that time, the gender gap has not improved. In fact, it's widened.
Cam says the problem is unconscious bias. So women investors ask female entrepreneurs the same questions men do. But venture capitalist Michelle Dervan says often they need to.
I was like, well, I would want to ask all those questions.
Dervan says Silicon Valley does need more female founders. Teams that have at least one woman outperform others. Donna Cam says even if women are asked about preventing loss, they should talk about making money instead. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Our program Marketplace Tech has an ongoing series about how venture capital really works with a new installment out today. That's in the Marketplace Tech podcast. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.